Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Wednesday, November the 5th. We're going to talk about the occult with Marcia Montenegro here for a few minutes. You can join us with questions or comments. The occult is alive and well, and it's not just the Ouija boards or the Halloween spooks and all the stories that go along with that. There's some serious stuff going on in the occult, but first we got to know who's in the occult, what is it, and we need to clear away some of the misconceptions that Christians hold about the occult. You can join us 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email your questions or comments to us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Marcia Montenegro is a regular guest. She's former professional astrologer. That would have put her in the occult. She's a founder of Christian Answers for the New Age and author of an article in a recent issue of the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to People in the Occult. Marcia, welcome back.
Hello. It's great to be on again. Thank you.
And it's good to have you. What is the biggest myth, do you think, among Christians about the occult?
I think it's the idea that people in the occult are either weird or crazy. I think that there's a misperception that it just can't be a regular person, or that somebody who's intelligent would not get involved in it. I think that may be one of the biggest myths.
So does it surprise you at all that along with the rise of kind of the naked rationalism of the new atheism comes along with that? I mean, people who consider themselves strict scientific thinkers also have a certain affinity for the occult, and these are intelligent people.
That's right. Yes, that's very true. I mean, I think a good example might be the astronaut, the space guy who got totally into the idea of the UFOs and the aliens. And, you know, that's kind of not technically the occult, but it's related. I mean, I think there's a lot of overlap between the whole alien spaceship thing with some beliefs of the occult, and you often do find a connection. A lot of people in the occult, are very intelligent. They are very rational. But there's a spiritual component that is missing in that. And so they can get drawn into the occult, because one thing a lot of Christians don't know about the occult is that many of its practices are extremely complex. And therefore, it has a lot of appeal to people who want a mental challenge. And that's why a lot of bright teenagers get involved in certain aspects of the occult.
Do people involved in the occult, from the outside looking in, do people involved in the occult necessarily know that they're involved in the occult? I mean, do they think, I'm an occultist?
They may not label themselves that way. I think if they've been involved in a while, or they're seriously involved, they do realize it, but they don't see it as a negative thing. In fact, they minimize the meaning of it. I often get emails from people in the occult, and they're always telling me, well, the occult just means hidden. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything bad. It just means hidden. And so they really minimize that. I think that most of them are aware that what they are involved in is the occult, but their view of it is very different from a Christian view, of course.
So what is it? This is a tough thing to define, but how would you define in a simple way at least the bare parameters of what we call the occult?
Yeah, I think the basic way to represent it is, it is a set of practices associated with various beliefs, and these practices are listed in Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. And that's how I usually define it for people in a quick way, because if you go to Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12, you can see the list there, contacting spirits, contacting the dead, divination. Different versions use different words because the Hebrew terms don't translate very well one-on-one into English, but they're all associated no matter what kind of term you use. So trying to ascertain, get a meaning out of something where there is no apparent meaning, contacting a supernatural being or power, or trying to invoke the force of something in order to alter reality, and trying to contact disembodied beings, including the dead. Those are all the kinds of practices that would fall under the occult. And they basically are divided into divination, spirit contact, and sorcery, which is usually called magic.
Okay, so divination could be anything from tarot cards to, I mean, in the ancient pagan world, you know, they display the guts of a goat out and try and figure out from the patterns and the veins what was going to happen in a battle or something.
Or cast arrows on the ground and read a pattern from it, or read patterns in other things. And that's still done today. You know, tea leaf reading is looking at the pattern of the tea leaves after you drink the tea, looking at the lines on a person's hand, and palm reading, looking at the position of the planets at a person's birth, and deriving meaning from the position of the planets and their relationships with each other, which is what an astrologer does, which is what I used to do. Those are all forms of divination, and a lot of people aren't necessarily familiar with the word divination. Sometimes it's called fortune telling. But more and more, divination these days has incorporated a lot of psychology. And so people who go to astrologers and tarot card readers who are serious about what they're doing, not the people with the storefront who are usually con artists. But, you know, they know a little bit, and they're two different categories. So I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people who are like the way I was, and you're serious about it. So when you go to this person and they're giving information to you based on these things, I mean, a lot of times the information is about the person's past and their present and their character. You know, what are your relationship issues? What are the influences from your childhood? What are the influences from your previous life, which you can supposedly see in a person's birth chart? So a lot of times it's not always about the future, in other words.
I guess what I'm wondering here is it a religion, either wittingly or unwittingly? Are those who practice the things associated with the occult involved in a false religion?
Yes, when they are willingly and knowingly doing it, it's usually associated with religion. Since I define the occult as a set of practices, I don't know if in and of itself it's a religion, because you find different belief systems associated with the occult. And somebody, let's say someone who goes to see a psychic, I don't think, you know, they shouldn't be doing that, but they aren't practicing a religion, yet they are in some way participating in divination, even though they're not practicing it. They're getting into it by going to the psychic. Now, the psychic and an astrologer and a tarot card reader may all have very different views of things. And then you also have Wicca, which is sort of, I put in another category. But a lot of times, I mean, they'll have similar views. They might have New Age-type views. They might have a mixture of Christianity with New Age or other things. A lot of times it's a corrupted form of Christianity. A lot of people say they're Christians and they do these things and say that, oh, my psychic powers are a gift from God. So that you find varied beliefs, but they are involved in some kind of belief system, when they are practicing these things, yes. But I wouldn't say there's one religion that you could call the occult.
This seems to be related to secret truth. I'm mm-hmm. trying to find some common denominators. Secret mm-hmm. truth mm-hmm. or esoteric knowledge. Mm-hmm. A view that there is somehow a power in the universe that we can either tap into or manipulate mm-hmm. toward yeah. our own ends. And that there are patterns in the world around us that somehow give us that secret knowledge or that power. Is that a pretty good way of thinking?
That's a very good summary. In my book, Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids, I talk about the occult in a lot of detail, and I have it termed as hidden powers, hidden beings, and hidden meanings, which is pretty much what you just said. So, yeah, there's this idea that what we're seeing masks an underlying hidden reality or power that you have to access through these secret or supernatural methods.
With only about 30 seconds here, does that in part explain the appeal of the occult? We'll talk more about it on the other side of the break, but does that explain the appeal?
Yes, I think partially it does. Because I think that, you know, it's the attraction of the unknown.
Marcia Montenegro is our guest. We're talking about the occult. I invite your questions and your comments on the occult this Wednesday, November the 5th. You can call us this afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. So how does the Christian deal with someone who's involved in the occult, whether their involvement be casual or more serious? I mean, we know up front that they don't view this as something that's evil. Very few people would say, yeah, I like to go out and do things that are evil. They think it's a positive good. Where do you begin in your conversation as a Christian with someone who is involved in the beliefs and the practices of the occult? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break with Marcia Montenegro. Hour two of Issues, Etc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us to talk about some of those marriage and life state ballot initiatives, how they came out, and what it'll mean for the future. Stay tuned.
Soon as I find myself a crystal ball, soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Well, tell me where.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues, Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Greg McRitchie, Norm Sowell, Mike Templin, Pastor Brian Lemke, Robert Sayer, Richard Porter, Julia Fleming, Scott Diekman, Jeffrey Berndt, and Daniel Lester. Thanks for your support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues, Etc. 300.
$1 million in the fountain of a hotel. Fortune teller that says maybe you won't go to hell. But I'm not
scared. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Marsha Montenegro is our guest. We're talking about the occult. And in particular, how do you deal with someone who's involved in the occult? How does a Christian approach them, begin a conversation? What do you need to know and what do you need to avoid so that what you have to share with them, what you have to tell them, not only about the life that they're living, the practices they're involved in, but also what they are missing in the truth of God's revelation of himself, no secret here, in Jesus Christ, is far better than the practices that are really leading nowhere in the occult. Marsha, we talked at the beginning about the biggest myth. What would be the biggest misstep for a Christian in approaching someone who's hip deep in the occult?
I think the biggest misstep would be to immediately tell them that what they're doing is wrong or evil, because, I mean, you will immediately alienate the person. And unless for some reason they've already been thinking that, they will not talk to you. They'll just walk away. So, you know, I don't think most Christians would do that, but just going up to them and saying, this is evil, God says this is evil, you know, you shouldn't have tarot cards. I mean, it's just not going to do any good at all, even though it's true. So I think we can look at examples from the Bible. I mean, Jesus had various approaches with different people depending on, you know, their status and what they were doing. He was very harsh with the Pharisees because they were supposed to know the law and they were supposed to recognize him. Then his approach, for example, to the woman at the well was much more subtle, although he just came out, you know, with the truth, of course. And I think also another thing, I think it's very important for Christians to realize that there is a spiritual stronghold underlying these practices. And people who are doing these things are in this spiritual blindness. There's a spiritual element there. It's not just that they've been deceived. It's not just that they're doing something wrong. But there really is this, I think of it as glue, as the person being in this sort of capsule and they're glued in there. And that's how I kind of visualize it. So you are breaking into this capsule or trying to break into it. Of course, only God can open their eyes to the truth. But, you know, you can't just shatter everything and then expect to have a conversation with them. But it's very important to recognize there's a spiritual element there, as well as understanding that that fact causes an opposition to you trying to express truth to them, to try to witness to them. Satan will, you know, of course, oppose that. And you have to recognize that and be in prayer and realize that you have to do this in the strength of Christ. So I think those are very important things to know right away before you try to talk to somebody, because sometimes, I mean, you can feel the opposition. I do when I talk to people in the occult. Sometimes I can feel this demonic opposition, and you have to recognize this is a person who's lost. I mean, they are accountable for what they're doing, but they are lost, and you have to separate the person from the occult. You have to see them as a person made in the image of God and not as, oh, this is an occultist I'm talking to, you know? So I always say try to see them as a person first rather than just an astrologer, tarot card reader, you know, witch or whatever they may be.
The passage comes to mind while you were talking there, the God of this world has blinded them so that they cannot see the light of the glory of Christ. So perhaps perhaps the best approach would seem to be an effort to open their eyes to, first of all, what it is they are doing, but also what it is they're missing.
Right, yes. I always think the approach with an unbeliever, because, I mean, you do find believers who get sucked into some of these practices, but and then you can go to the Bible. But with a lost person, I like to first find out what their beliefs are, since the beliefs of people involved in the occult vary so dramatically. I usually try to ask them, you know, what they believe. Do you believe in a God or gods? Who do you think God is? And what do you think of Jesus? Most of them will have a view of Jesus. Most of them believe Jesus existed. typically the view tends to be that he was a good person. Sometimes they believe he had powers, like a lot of people in ritual magic believe that Jesus was a magician, not a stage magician, but someone who did what he did through these magical powers that they also are trying to summon up and use. So I like to find out what their view of Jesus is, and I like to find out if they had a Christian background, which in many cases they have, why they reject Christianity. Because if you can find that out, it will give you an idea of what their understanding of the gospel is and what their understanding of Jesus is. So I think it's very important first to know where they stand in terms of how they see God and Jesus and salvation. And they may make a statement that's incorrect, such as, well, I don't like Christianity because, you know, you have to follow all these rules to be good and get into heaven or something like that. And then you can say, well, but that's not Christianity, because no one can follow rules perfectly, but one person did. Jesus did live completely according to God's will. So that gives you a chance to respond and actually, you know, share the truth with them in a dialogue format. And that's usually what I try to do. The other thing also is, after asking them about their ideas, I try to listen for inconsistencies or the implications of what they believe. So, you know, I want them to follow the implications of what they believe. The best example of this for me is when you talk to a Wiccan. They believe do no harm, do what you will, but they don't usually believe in absolute good and evil. So then you say, well, how do you define harm? Because there is no standard. So, and it ends up being very subjective how they define it. And so then you can bring things up like, well, you know, in another culture, if it's okay to do this, according to that culture, then you can't condemn it. And I usually bring up an example of something that is somewhat, you know, disturbing, like a widow burning in villages in India. Even though it's outlawed, it's still practiced. Sometimes twin babies are killed in certain parts of Africa because they're considered a sign of bad luck or the god's displeasure or whatever. And you know, then you show them how what would happen if everyone followed that, if we all just followed our subjective view of what was harmful and what wasn't. And I like to try to get people to think, you know, to think through, because a lot of times they have these ideas that they think are good, but they haven't ever really thought about what if, you know, everybody lived according to this. So that's just one example.
Now, you know, before we let you go, as a former professional astrologist, really a practitioner of the occult, how would you respond to someone who says astrology in particular is really just a harmless practice? About 30 seconds here, Marcia.
Well, I would say astrology isn't harmless because it is trying to get answers that are not coming from God. And you're putting yourself in a very dangerous position because you're opening yourself up to deception from the enemy of God, Satan. And so that's how I, in a short few seconds, that's how I would answer it. The other thing I want to quickly add is that you speak the truth in love and ask God to give you love for the person you're talking to. And they can sense that love that comes from Christ, and that can certainly open a lot of doors.
Marcia Montenegro is a former professional astrologer. She's founder of Christian Answers for the New Age, author of an article in a recent issue of the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to People in the Occult. You'll find a link to Christian Answers for the New Age under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Marcia, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much for having me. As usual, it went by too fast.
It always does. Second hour of the program is straight ahead. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. There were a lot of marriage and life state ballot initiatives state by state. Some of them went the right way. Some of them didn't. We'll get a kind of a review of the results looking back with Jennifer Roback Morse, then Congressman John Shimkus will join us here in the studio to review yesterday's elections. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest to talk about peace in the scriptures in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Tomorrow on the program, a pastor's roundtable discussion on the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does that mean? Is it only about the courtroom or about lying or slander? We'll find out. Our guest, Pastor John Ferguson of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Pastor Clement Preuss of Glory of Christ Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and Pastor Nathan Metter of Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois, will be our guest tomorrow on the program for our Pastor's Roundtable. We'll be talking about you shall not give false witness against your neighbor. You know something else you need to know about the occult and those involved in it? While they are in spiritual bondage and blinded to the God of this world, you do not need to fear the God of this world, and that the truth of Jesus Christ is on your side, and His Word is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. We'll be right back with Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.